Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26, as Jesus came and born of a Virgin Mary, and we celebrate that day that took place on our Christian calendar, December 25th, and he came as a fulfillment to the Old Testament, and then lived a perfect life, and then went to the cross of Calvary, as you know, paid a sin debt that we owe and couldn't pay, was placed in a tomb and resurrected on the third day. And through all of that, he was teaching the fulfillment of scriptures. He was speaking New Testament truths as he prepared his disciples to carry on the work that he would have established as he would have had established his church. And he was preparing his disciples to carry on the work. And of course, that work has continued to be carried on by born-again believers that God has called and to go and to establish New Testament churches and seeing souls saved. And that is still going on today. And it will continue until this New Testament church age is over. It will end with the rapture of the church. And we are looking forward to that. But as we look here in Matthew chapter 26, we find Jesus coming to the end of his earthly ministry here. And there have been so much that Jesus himself had taught the disciples that would be written down and then preserved for us as this New Testament books of the Bible during that apostolic age. And all this would be completed by the end of the apostolic age. We would have the completion of the New Testament scriptures. But one of the last things that he would teach before he would go to the cross of Calvary is found here in Matthew chapter 26. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read that starting in verse 17 and we'll read down to verse 30. The Bible says, "Now the first day of the week of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, what a great day this is that we have set aside as a Christian nation to acknowledge that there was a day when Christ was born on this earth. Thank you that we can assemble ourselves here together and freely worship you and study and preach and teach your word. As we have read this passage of Scripture, I pray, God, that you would now prepare each and every one of us to receive that spiritual food that you have for us through the preaching of the word. I pray even as a church, as we prepare for communion, that you would help each and every one of us to prepare ourselves to remember the sacrifices made by our Savior. Bless in this service. Bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus had been teaching the disciples and preparing them for his departure. He knew as he was preparing them that they would be the ones that would carry on that which he would have established in the New Testament church. And so he wanted to make sure that they had the truths that he would have for the entire church age. And so we find that he taught them many things. And here in chapter 26, as the disciples thought that they were preparing to celebrate the Jewish Passover, Jesus was preparing to institute a New Testament ordinance for his church. We find here in verse 17 through 19, this New Testament ordinance would be based upon Old Testament Passover, because it was that time of the Passover. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. He knew exactly what he was preparing to do and what he was going to establish. I will keep the Passover at thy house and with my disciples. So we know that this is the same passage of Scripture where he institutes the Lord's Supper, but he is connecting it to the Passover. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. There in the book of Exodus in chapter 12, if you want to look back there with me or write it down, study it afterwards tonight. But Jesus would have celebrated this every year of his life. This year would be different. This would be the last Passover before he would go to the cross of Calvary, before he would be placed in a tomb, before he would resurrect and ascend into heaven to ever live to make intercession for us. Every other year he would have been a part of the Passover celebration. The Passover celebration was something that God established for his nation, his children, the children of the nation of Israel, after he had freed them from Egyptian bondage. The very last act before they would be freed from Egyptian bondage would have been the Passover. And we find that recorded in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. The children of God were to go to their houses. They were to eat the sacrificial lamb, and they were to take the blood of that lamb, and they were to put it on the doorposts of the house. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, thus the name of the Passover. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day The Bible's recording this. It says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And that meaning forever was to be as long as God's people were on this earth. Jesus fulfilled the part of it of the Old Testament. And now he would continue the Passover by establishing for his church the Lord's Supper. The Jewish belief was that the Messiah, in whom they were looking for, was going to come and redeem Israel during the Passover. They looked to be redeemed then. And then as they would continue to honor and observe the Passover, they looked for the Messiah to come. They continued to look for the Messiah to come, and that's why it was so important for them to go and to the Passover and honor the Passover and observe the Passover. Because it could be this year would be the year that the Messiah would come. They were somewhat blinded to this new church, New Testament church age. They thought that he would come and establish a millennial reign, which is beyond the New Testament church, after the church is raptured. And we find that he'll come back and he will reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. So we find here that the connection this time would be for Jesus to fulfill and replace the Passover with the New Testament ordinance. As we know, the scriptures teach us that he came to fulfill. It didn't do away with the Old Testament. It still has a part in our study. It's a part in our understanding. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. And he established New Testament Christianity. And in doing that, he would fulfill and replace the Passover, and he would identify himself as the sacrificial lamb. Thus they would eat his flesh and drink his blood. That could not have been understood. And it still is not understood today unless you understand everything about the Passover and what it represented and what Jesus came to accomplish. He would identify himself with that sacrificial lamb. The Bible says in John in chapter 5, he taught them this even before, and they didn't understand it, but they pondered it. They would keep it in their hearts and their minds. John chapter 10. Verse 15, he says, "And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He would lay down his life for the sheep, the children of God. He would be that sacrificial lamb. Verse 17, 18, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, and I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." In the book of 1 Corinthians, as Paul would write to the Corinthian church, he would say in the 1 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." The Apostle Paul knew very well that Jesus Christ would represent that sacrificial lamb, and he would connect this ordinance to the Passover. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, let me just read it to you again. Once I read it, you write it down, study it when you go home. But Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 9, The Bible says in Hebrews 10:9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first, that he may establish the second. Take away the first, which would be Old Testament, that he might establish a second, which would be New Testament. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's a blessing. To see how that everything about the Old Testament prophecies have been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ leading up to even the rapture, his coming for his church, the next prophecy that we have to look to. But he came and he would establish this ordinance. It's connected, there's no doubt, connected to the Old Testament Passover. If we go back to our text tonight, as he was teaching his disciples, and they again thought that they were going to observe the Passover once again, and he knew that this would be a different set of circumstances. This would be the last time before his crucifixion, and he would establish this ordinance. Verse 20 down to verse 25. One of the things we find that Jesus does here, and I think that we are to continue to do through the Lord's Supper, would be used to confess sin. It would be used to purge the house. Be used for us to examine ourselves, to see where we stand in our walk with God. In our fellowship with the Lord. With Jesus, we know that he had 12, but one of them was a son of perdition. One of them was not saved. And one of them would betray him. And we find that right after he said, and make ready the Passover, in verse 20, he says, now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, now they're observing the Passover, and he is knowingly going to present the ordinance. Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Not everyone's heart was pure. Not every one of them at this point would have been able to observe the Lord's Supper with a pure heart. And they were exceeding sorrowful. Began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? I love that, every one of them. I think when we have communion, we have the Lord's Supper that, and as we'll see this, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth and establishes the basic principles for the Lord's Supper that Jesus established while he was here, and Paul continues that, it is for us to examine ourselves. It's for us to see, is there anything between me and my Savior? Is there any sin in my heart and my life? Is there any ought that I have with a church member that could be a hindrance to the body of Christ? That could be a hindrance to the work that God has called us to do? As Jesus was establishing this ordinance that would continue throughout the church, New Testament church age, not only are we to remember, and we are to remember, we'll see that in just a minute, but it's a time for us to examine ourselves to find out, is there anything that would be a hindrance to me in my fellowship and my walk with Christ? And if there is, my goodness, there's not a better time to confess and forsake it. There would not be a better time for us as a church, because once you do this, as we individually draw as close to God as we can walk with him, if every church member was walking as close to God as you could possibly walk with God, can you imagine the impact that his church would have on society? The testimony that we would have with every member going into their parts of the world, into their parts of their Jerusalem, back to their own families, back to their own neighborhoods, back to their own places of employment, and truly be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and have a testimony for Christ. What a difference it would make. And that was the plan. And it's still the plan. Because it starts with an individual in the body that God has planted us in, the New Testament church. As the church goes, as the family goes, so goes the church, and as the church goes, so does society. And the church has failed society. But this was his plan. This is his plan. And they were exceeding sorrowful. And every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? What a prayer. Lord, is there any sin in my heart? Is there anything in me that is not honoring to you? Is there anything that you would have me to confess and forsake so that I might be all that you want me to be? What a blessing if we would truly use this as a time to examine ourselves and to come out of that walking closer to the Lord. Yeah. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. He let him know exactly. I believe when you have a desire to see yourself as God sees you, he'll reveal some things to us. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said, you already know. You know what's in your heart. If you'd study the other passages of Scripture in the Gospels, it reveals to us that Judas leaves at this time. Judas leaves. Jesus would have purged the house. He reveals Judas. And he leaves. Now, in our passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, Paul reveals part of God's plan for the church is let every man examine himself. It's not for me to stand up here and judge. It's not for you to look around and judge. It's for us to look within and judge and examine and get rid of any hindrances. If we go back, then after this happens and Judas leaves, then in verse 26 to verse 30, Jesus would give this as a permanent ordinance. As they were eating, again, he's connecting it to the Passover. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. Now he's still in his body. When we take of the communion, it does not turn into the body of Christ. It's symbolic of his body. He was still with them. But he wanted them to realize that when you partake of this bread, you are to remember my body. The body was sacred. That was sacrificed for you. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood. Does not turn into the blood of Jesus Christ because his blood was still in his body when he established it. It is symbolic of the sacrificial blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Pure, sinless blood, one-of-a-kind blood. No one else has that kind of blood. No one else could have died for the sins of the world. Only Jesus, because he was virgin-born, Son of God. Verse 26 through 28, Jesus took this bread and this drink, and it was the fruit of the vine. It was not alcohol. It was not an alcoholic beverage. It was fresh fruit of the vine. And he gave thanks and had them consume all of it. Give thanks for it. It was symbolic of receiving him into our lives. Because of the body that was crucified and buried, he suffered in that body. Give thanks and receive that into our lives. Because of the blood that was shed, give thanks. Because that was the blood of God. That was a body that was prepared by God. That was God who suffered to identify with you and I in that body. Give thanks for that. Give thanks that God loves us enough to identify with us. He loves us enough to give his only begotten son to pay a sin debt that you own couldn't pay. Thank God for that. And receive it into your life. That's what he's saying. As you're thankful for it, then receive it into your life and use your body to serve him. Use your life to serve him. Yeah. John chapter 6. As I said earlier, this is something that he had taught. They would not have understood, but now they would understand. In John chapter 6 and verse 50, he said, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Consume it. Consume his life and let it make a difference in our lives. He would go on down to say in verse 53, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Now, he was not talking about drinking the actual blood. He was telling them, he was preparing them for the sacrifice that he would make for them. "For my flesh," he says in verse 55, "for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not of your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." That's for the church. That's for us to remember what he did and consume it within us. Be thankful for it as you take of that bread and realize what it's symbolic of. Consume it. Consume his life. Be thankful for that juice as it's symbolic of his blood. Consume it. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever lose sight of what God sacrificed for us. Wow. And then he says in verse 29, back in our text, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We are to do this to remember back and then to look forward to. As we have communion, we are to look back in remembrance and also look forward to what we have in front of us. Having it with Him in the Father's kingdom. Yeah. Paul would later write, and I'm going to take you to that passage of scripture now that we used in order to conduct our Lord's Supper ceremony is in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, we find where Jesus instituted what we preached on tonight. In chapter 11 and verse 23, the Bible says, and Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Where are you at tonight? I'm going to ask the deacons, if you would, to make your way out to bring in the Lord's Supper. Everyone else, if you'd stand here as they prepare to distribute the bread and the juice that God has given to us as to be symbolic of his body and his blood. He has given that for the church so that we might observe it to be a stronger church. That you might observe it to be a stronger member. And together, we can go out and make a difference. Examine ourselves. Father, we bow before you. And I pray, God, as we get ready for this communion, that you would at this point help us to examine ourselves. If there's any sin, if there's anything, any hindrances to our partaking of this Lord's Supper tonight, I pray, God, that we would be ready and willing to confess and forsake and prepare ourselves to remember and to observe, to receive that body, understanding what it's symbolic of, and that blood. Blessing this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.